Welcome back. On November 17th, 2017, a police car chase that began on the George Washington Memorial Parkway ended with an unarmed man, 25-year-old Bijan Kesar, being shot at 9 times by U.S. Park Police as he sat at the wheel of his Jeep Grand Cherokee in a residential neighborhood of Fairfax County. He died 10 days later. As the second anniversary of Bijan's killing approaches, very few details of the investigation into the events of that night have been made public, and Bijan's family has refiled a lawsuit against the federal government. So, what's next in the family's quest for answers, and how are they able to mourn in the midst of a fight for justice? Members of Bijan Kesar's family joins us in studio. I will introduce each individually. Kelly Kesar is Bijan's mother. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Kurt.
James Kesar is Bijan's father. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, sir.
Nagin Kesar is Bijan's older sister. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
And Roy Austin is one of the Kesar's family attorneys and a partner with the law firm of Harris, Wilshire, and Grannis. Roy Austin, thank you for joining us.
Good afternoon. Thank you.
And U.S. Senator Mark Warner will be joining us from a Capitol Hill radio studio. Mark Warner is a Democratic member of the U.S. Senate representing Virginia. Roy Austin, I'm wondering if we can start with you. What do we know about the details of Bijan Kesar's death?
So we know very little beyond the fact that police chief from Fairfax, Russler, decided to provide us with the videotape of the killing. We know that from the beginning, these officers were completely out of control, completely unprofessional, and conducted an unconstitutional stop. Three different occasions, they approached the car in a manner that violates policy and common sense. And the final time, they repeatedly shot at Bijan from close range when there was no risk to the officers or anyone else.
When you say they approached the car or the Jeep, I think, in a way that violated policy and common sense, it's my understanding that on each occasion, they approached it with their guns drawn. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And that is a violation of policy?
Well, the issue was this was over a minor fender bender in which Bijan was the victim. He was the one struck from behind. And in this situation, officers are trained. If you need to perform a traffic stop at some later time, you pull up behind the vehicle, you approach the vehicle in a calm manner, and you get the information you need. That's not what happened here in any way, shape, or form. What happened here is they blocked the car from the beginning, jumped out of the car with their weapons drawn, and then proceeded to even strike the car with their guns. A number of things that no police department would ever train its officers to do.
Fairfax County police officer was following Park Police as the chase unfolded, and the dash cam footage from his patrol car shows that Bijan stopped his car twice during the chase but drove away both times as the two Park Police officers approached his vehicle, you say unprofessionally. But do you have any insights or possible reasons as to why Bijan did that?
We do not, other than the fact that anybody who was approached by a police officer or by two police officers in that manner late at night, unprovoked, would very likely be concerned for their life and would very likely be trying to get to a place where there were more people who could witness what these officers were doing.
And just to confirm, the police report from the Fairfax County officers who were at the scene when Bijan was removed from his car after the shooting states that no weapons or illicit substances were found, correct?
So absolutely no weapons were found. That is what we know for a fact. There was never a threat to those officers or anyone else.
When we reached out to the U.S. Park Police for comment, their public information officer, Sergeant Eduardo Delgado, wrote back, quoting here, "The U.S. Park Police recognized the longstanding need for more information and details surrounding the investigation and the death of Bijan Kesar. In the interest of objectivity and impartiality, the United States Park Police transferred the case to the Federal Bureau of Investigation in November of 2017. The FBI is conducting this investigation. As such, we are neither able to speculate on elements of this investigation nor the release procedures of another agency. When we reached out to the FBI for comment, they declined. The law enforcement stonewalling here has brought about rare bipartisan calls for transparency. Here now is Senator Chuck Grassley, a Republican from Iowa, questioning FBI Director Christopher Wray about the case this past July.
I've sent several letters to the FBI regarding the investigation into the shooting of Bijan Ghaizar by the National Park Police. I haven't received a substantive response. When can I expect clear answers to my questions and a conclusion of that investigation, which I think now is 18 months old?
Well, I'm not intimately familiar with the investigation, but I believe it is still ongoing, so it would be premature for us to provide any substantive information at this point.
You know, you kind of get the feeling with several of these instances that there might be something out there that's going to embarrass the FBI. Are you worried about embarrassing the FBI if some of this stuff's made public?
I am not having us withhold any information out of fear of embarrassment to the FBI. Okay. We take our share of lumps, and I embrace that as part of the process. The FBI has made its share of mistakes over the years, and you've, I think, played an important role in some cases in highlighting some of those mistakes. And I think one of the things that distinguishes the FBI from a lot of other organizations is our commitment to learning from those mistakes.
That's FBI Director Christopher Wray responding to questioning from U.S. Senator Chuck Grassley, a Republican from Iowa. James Ghaizar, you are Bijan's father. I wonder what your response is when you hear what you just heard from the director of the FBI.
Well, I am puzzled like them and like everybody we know that this silence, on top of the fact that, you know, public need to know, we have a loss that is unbelievably hard on us. I don't know how to describe it, but I'm trying to learn how to live with the grief that the permanent hole in my heart. So it is a nightmare every day, starting with a total denial and then go through the whole five phases of grief and just over and over and over again. So yes, we are anxious to know more about it, and hopefully the only thing we can wish here is justice, because unfortunately nothing can bring our son back.
Senator Mark Warner is a Democratic member of the U.S. Senate representing Virginia. He and Senator Chuck Grassley, who you just heard from, a Republican representing Iowa, have continued to press the FBI and U.S. Park Police for information about what happened to Bijan. Senator Warner joins us now from studios in the U.S. Senate. Senator Mark Warner, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Kojo.
You've been met with refusals from the FBI and the U.S. Park Police to comment on their investigation into Bijan Ghaizar's death. How do you account for this lack of response?
Well, Kojo, first of all, let me just say I am embarrassed by the response of our government to this tragedy. It's not right. It's not fair. I had the opportunity to meet with Bijan's parents at an event. It wasn't about Bijan over a year ago, and my impression is they are remarkable people. And you just heard from James the tragedy, how it still affects him. I think about, I've got three daughters in their 20s. If this had happened to one of them, and to be sitting 2 years after the fact with no answers, I don't know how they control their rage, frustration, disappointment. And let me just take a moment or two. I mean, the family contacted, we got involved, Senator Tim Kaine got involved, Congressman Don Beyer got involved. I contacted Chuck Grassley because he's been active on these kind of investigations in the past to make this bipartisan. He's more senior than me. Senator Grassley's been involved. We have had our paper of record, the Washington Post, has been very, very active and editorialized on this subject repeatedly. And if four members of Congress, the Washington Post, can't get this family the decency of answers, it is so wrong on every level. Let me tell you what we have achieved, which by no means is enough. Number one, I have repeatedly gone to the previous Park Service director, and as recently as 2 weeks ago with the acting National Park Service director, David Velva, to say this process of what happened, because these were park police, there's not as much, I don't think, as much training, as many incidents of kind of violence. This was not the Fairfax police or the state police. These are park police. They, you know, they monitored the parkway, the GW Parkway, the Baltimore-Washington Parkway in our greater Washington area. And you know, this just isn't right. We have seen the park police be willing to change their training procedures after enormous amounts of pressure. We still don't have enough clarity from the park police on what are the procedures in terms of use of firearms, particularly, as the attorney pointed out, where Bijan showed no evidence of threatening to any law officer. So we've made incremental progress with the park police, not enough. Their response continues to be, you know, well, we've turned it over to the FBI. Only through the actions of the Ghazar family, were we able to obtain the names of the officers involved. You know, we requested, I requested, Grassley requested, you know, others requested, only through kind of a FOIA request were they, the family even able to get the names of the officers that literally 5 or 6 months afterwards was the first time they were even put on any level of administrative.
But Senator
review.
Warner, what's your next move?
Let me just finish this, please. It's one more. So that took too long. I have been in regular contact with the FBI, and the FBI, you know, gave me, and I've shared this with the family, and I can't share with the whole listening audience, somewhat a level of status of numbers of interviews that have taken place, which just don't pass the smell test in terms of why it's taking this many interviews and this long for a circumstance that, you know, we kind of know the universe of individuals that were involved, and thank goodness in many ways the Fairfax police were involved to make sure that we had the video that has given us this level of proof. I am going to continue to press on the FBI. There is something wrong in our legal system that this family is 2 years after the death of their son, that they have no answers, that no one has been brought to justice, and they don't have a full explanation. And I'm going to end with where I started, Kojo, which is I am embarrassed by the performance of the United States government, that they don't have more response, and that four members of Congress and the Washington Post have not been able to secure this family the kind of at least beginning answers beyond the question of what they ultimately needed, which is justice.
But Senator Warner, what kind of leverage does the Congress have with the FBI? Patty called in to ask, Congress has the power of the purse. Why doesn't Congress, Senator Grassley, Senator Warner, their counterparts in the House, just zero out the park police and FBI funding until there's acknowledgement?
Those options in terms of holding back funds, restricting funds, is one of the next steps that we've started some conversations on. What we had presumed and what I had expected, having had a conversation with some of the senior most level officials at the FBI who within the chain of command are overseeing this investigation, I never in my wildest dreams thought that James and Kelly and Najin would still be this many months after that conversation, still waiting to get answers and having this investigations come to some level of conclusion. So it is time for us to move to the next steps.
Senator Mark Warner is a Democratic member of the U.S. Senate representing Virginia. Mark Warner, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Kojo. And to the Ghazar family, again, we are all committed, but I just can't imagine 2 years after Bijan's murder shooting that our government has not given you a better explanation of what happened.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Roy Austin, do you know of any other cases involving the Park Police that have taken this long to make details available to the public?
So I do not know of any other matters with the Park Police where they have shot and killed someone that have taken this long. Unfortunately, a number of these civil rights cases being investigated by the U.S. government seem to take years when the answer is pretty obvious, and that these things should be moving forward toward justice much sooner with prosecutions. So I don't have an explanation for why it would take this long.
Family has refiled a lawsuit against the federal government that was previously dismissed on technical grounds. What does that suit say?
So the suit says that these officers both individually and violated the Fourth Amendment by taking Bijan's life, and that the U.S. government is responsible. So it's under what's called a Bivens action, and under the Federal Tort Claims Act is how the lawsuit is proceeding. And we have not been able to get answers through the FBI, and so the family has had no choice but to seek answers through our civil justice system.
Why did the lawsuit have to be refiled?
It was a matter of exactly who were the representatives of Bijan's estate and making sure that that was noted properly in the original lawsuit. It was truly a technical matter.
How will you be able to move this case forward?
So we are in the federal district courts in the Northern District of Virginia, and we will move it forward as civil cases move forward through our complaint and our complaints and our pleadings.
And I guess this is a frustration that both you and the family feels. Jody emails us, isn't the Fairfax police video obvious enough? Why on earth were these officers pursuing him as if he were a criminal instead of treating him as the victim of an accident? There is no excuse for this delay. I suspect that's a lot of public sentiment too.
She is absolutely 1,000% correct. Anyone can look at this video and see exactly what happened here, and that what happened here was criminal and wrong and unjust.
Nagin Gesar, I'd like to talk to you about your brother, not just about what happened that night 2 years ago, but about who Bijan was as a person. What can you tell us about him?
I think to start off, Bij was the funniest person I think anyone who knew him had ever met. He could make anyone laugh. He was just a huge presence in any room. You could just feel him around. He was super inclusive. He would make sure anyone who felt left out in the corner of the room, not talking to anyone, was, you know, incorporated into the conversation, was, you know, comfortable. He never liked being a burden on anyone. So a lot of the times we feel bad that, you know, if he wouldn't want us to, you know, have to do anything for him ever. And he was always doing things for everyone else. He was just very giving all the time. You know, he had like an intuitive sense. So he just would call at the right time. He was there at the right time. And again, he was hilarious. So he didn't like anyone being sad. So he would just make sure he could, you know, get a little giggle out of you if, you know, you look like you might cry or, you know,
did he get any giggles out of you by mimicking people he'd been listening
to? Oh, gosh. Yes.
Radio?
So, yes, I'm not sure how you know that. But growing up on the way to school, my dad, or anywhere, basically, NPR was the only thing that we would ever listen to. So we actually had this like long running joke between the two of us. I'm not good with impressions, but he was very good with impressions. He would do you, Kojo, actually, more than anyone. And
I
Diane
have trouble
Rehm.
Doing me.
Yeah. It was you, Diane Rehm, and All Things Considered. So those were the three that was just constantly playing, even when we weren't listening to it for ourselves. In the hospital, I actually would, those 10 days, I would try to, like, I guess, make him feel better in his coma. So I would just try to come up with little things from like our memories that would maybe make him feel better in the moment. And that was one of the things I, you know, in an awful way, tried to mimic.
2 years ago, that would have been just flattering for me. Now it's a downright honor. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
James, your son was an accountant. You even worked together at the same firm. What are your fondest memories of him?
Well, if you allow me, I'm going to read what he wrote on my Facebook on my 60th birthday. And I think that briefly would describe as who he was and what values he held and what our relationship are. So briefly, I'm going to read. He says, "You have been my best friend, my boss, and my role model. But most importantly, you have been my father. You always told me that there is no need to chase your dream if you live them every day. Work hard and then play. We have been able to go all over the world together, and I thank you for that. You took me to your hometown to show me that humble beginnings put life in perspective. You have always said that the true happiness comes from helping others. You have taught me to be kind, courteous, and humble, but to also own the room. You have always said, don't overdo it. And if you truly believe it, then you will find a way to succeed. You have always told me that in life, one can build many things, but there is nothing like building a family. I hope one day I can be as great of a father to my kid as you have been to Nagin and me. Cheers to 60 years of living and a dream and many more to come. I love you, Baba. I think this would not only tell you who he was and what our relationship was. I mean, he was definitely, now I feel, very old soul in the body of a 25-year-old kid.
Some memories of Bijan Gesar. We're going to take a short break now so we can all collect ourselves. I'm Kojo Namdi.
Hi, it's Diane. The next meeting of my book club is on Wednesday, May 31st at 1 p.m. Eastern. I'll host a discussion of Mad Honey by Jodi Picco and Jennifer Finney Boylan, followed by a conversation with the authors. Find out more and register at dianereem.org/bookclub.
Welcome back. We're talking with family members and the attorney of Bijan Gesar, who was shot to death by U.S. Park police officers 2 years ago. And there has been no information given whatsoever about the FBI investigation that has been taking place for these last 2 years. Marie emails, "I lost my son 2 months ago before the Gesars lost Bijan. My son died of 2 months before the Gesars lost Bijan. My son died of undiagnosed type 1 diabetes, and I've dedicated my life to raising awareness of this disease. I know about the hole in the heart that will never go away from the death of a child, as Mr. Gesar describes it, but to lose a child and not understand why, and to witness the callous disregard of that child's life by the agencies that are supposed to protect us, is unfathomable. I'm grateful for the many members of Congress and the Washington Post who have not given up their quest to uncover the reasons behind this terrible act." Kelly Gesar, as the mother of Bijan, what do you want people to know about Bijan and the kind of person he was?
Well, Bijan was one of the nicest, as Nagin said, funniest people that I know. I am so honored that I was given the gift Bijan for 25 years. He was my best friend, and we always talked about things that usually son and moms don't talk about, like football, and I love football, and movies, and he was, as Negin said, very inclusive. Bijan was super caring. He was super funny. And one of the things that I always say about Bijan that I have never in my life met a young person or an adult that can enter a room and get the reception that Bijan did. It would always leave me in awe that out of nowhere, wherever we were at family gatherings or school events or sports events at school where he played, as soon as he would walk into a room, everybody was like, Bij, Bij, Bij is here. Hey, Bij, Bij, Bij. And it was all of us there and so many other people. But there has to be a reason why someone gets that kind of reception. And it was simply, I believe, the fact that he was so caring and so humble. And on his last birthday, I wrote to him. I said, I wish you all the best in the year to come. And that was September of 2017, which was like before his death. And Bijan wrote back. She says, thank you, mommy, but I only want what I need. I think that says everything that needs to be said about Bijan. And I do know Bijan, or no one, deserves to die the way he did.
There are a couple of people who know the family who would like to comment. First, here's Kayvon in Tyson's Corner, Virginia. Kayvon, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you guys? I just wanted to really express my condolences to the family once again. I mean, it's been 2 years, and just like the family's been saying, the extended family, which I'd like to include myself a part of, is also waiting for answers. And the frustration of the family is extending upon us as extended family, but also because I was a close friend of Bijan as well. So because of the frustration that has come onto me as a citizen of the state, as a citizen of the Commonwealth, I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed that the federal government and the state that we live in and have lived in for my whole life and their whole lives has let us down.
Thank you very much for sharing those thoughts with us, Kayvon. I think you all know Congressman Don Beyer of Virginia. Congressman Don Beyer, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Kojo. Thanks so much for having Kelly and James on the show and bringing attention to this. I just wanted to give you three quick updates. I'm working with Chairman Raul Grijalva of the Natural Resources Committee in the House on a letter to Chief McClain, who's now the head law enforcement officer at Interior.
We're going to get to that shortly.
Reviewing the Park Police protocols and regulations, because it's very clear these officers violated both the chase policy and the weapons policy in the Bijan case. And then with Eleanor Holmes Norton, we passed an amendment requiring that Department of Interior do body cameras for all of its law enforcement. So far, the main agency has done it, but not the sub-agencies. We need to push on that. And then in line with what Senator Warner or Senator Grassley have done with Department of Justice, we have a letter going out this week saying, you know, color of law investigations don't take this long. It's 2 years. The whole notion, which, you know, the gay stars have said so eloquently, that justice denied is justice delayed is justice denied. And a subset of that is we really want the 911 tape released. You know, the Fairfax County chief, you know, Ressler, graciously let the Fairfax County videotape out, but we still don't know what the 911 call said and what that may have provoked. But so we're trying in a very frustrated way to help bring justice as quickly as we can.
Don Beyer, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you, Kojo.
Don Beyer is a congressman, a member of the U.S. Congress. He's a Democrat from Virginia. The chief of park police at the time, you just heard his name, Robert McLean, met with this family to explain the reasons for their silence on Bijan's death. Here's what he told Fox 5 D.C.'s Paul Wagner back in August.
What I decided to do was have the FBI investigate it to bring that impartiality and that objectivity. I met with the Gaiser family shortly after the incident to explain the reason why. And that's what we need to do in law enforcement, is to afford that public, to have the transparency through our actions of allowing an objective outside partner investigate our critical incidents like that.
Nagin, were you satisfied with that response?
Absolutely not. I think Chief Robert McLean should not only not be getting his promotion, but he should be fired and questioned for everything that he's done in this case from the second my brother was shot up until now. I think that everything that he said is a complete sham. I think that I personally remember that we weren't allowed to record him when he came in. He didn't come to visit us until the case was turned over to the FBI after we had multiple bad incidents with the two police officers under his watch who were watching my brother's room, not allowing us to see him, restricting our access to him, not allowing us to touch him, calling him a perp. And then to top it off, within hours before he came and the FBI took over, they actually told a chaplain, a non-denominational chaplain, that we had waited 48 hours to come and visit my brother so that she could touch him on our behalf to read a Rumi poem because we are non-denominational. They told him, told her that she couldn't touch him because he was a Muslim. And that is when he actually showed up here and the FBI took over, within hours of that. And we had multiple incidents like that in those 3 days leading up to the FBI taking over. So no, I don't believe anything that Robert McLean has to say, and I have no respect for his answer.
Kelly, Robert McLean has since been promoted to the top law enforcement position at the Interior Department. He was praised for his, quoting here, stellar record. How did you feel when you heard about his promotion?
Disgusted. I think Robert McLean is, I have never been able to use bad language, but I'm very tempted. I think Robert McLean, the least, is a coward. He did not serve or protect his community by covering up this murder. And for our government to promote him to Interior Department is another shameful act in this case. And I just feel like this is what happened to Bijan from the first second up until now is a tsunami of bad judgments, of bad actions, of just I cannot tell you, after 2 years of sitting here and not one government official come to us and even acknowledge the fact that our son was murdered by one of their members. And it's appalling. It's unbelievable. It's a nightmare. It is a disrespect. I am ashamed that we live in a society that this is permitted. I really am.
Here's Karen in Washington, D.C. Karen, we don't have a great deal of time left, but go ahead, please.
I've been a friend of James's and of the family as well, of James's, for nearly 40 years. This is a man with the soul of a poet. He has on his office walls a picture of Mahatma Gandhi and Nelson Mandela. I want to bring up a point that Kelly just touched on. If we remember that 2 years ago, there was a kind of hysteria in this country in the media about the Muslim ban and the eight nations from which we would not accept tourists or immigrants, I think that this is directly related to a kind of reaction of the police. If Bijan looked Middle Eastern and that sort of hysteria I think, would have contributed to this. And I think that our leadership ought to be showing us the better way of our natures and not the worst way of our natures. And the police are meant to be the adults in the room and not do what they did. And my heart breaks for this, but I think it's a point that is probably why the FBI doesn't want to release any information.
Thank you very much for your call. Taylor emails, I met Nagin in sixth grade. We were both new to our elementary school at the time. The Gaisars are the most welcoming, loving, genuine family, and I am heartbroken for them that Bij is no longer physically here with us. I'm so sorry for that, for you, that you still do not have justice, that our government can't own their actions, and that you have to live every day of your life. I'm so grateful for you that you have the support system that you have, and I am here from afar. I support you all. We are Bijan. We're running out of time very quickly, but James, you have said that you're not seeking revenge, that you want justice, that nothing can bring Bijan back. But what would justice look like for you?
Well, justice for me is that, of course, these two officers, Alejandro Amaya and Lucas Wynyard, have committed a crime, and they deserve to be punished according to the law. I think that would be the right thing to do, not only for us, but for the society, for this country, that there is the rule of law, and if you do something wrong, you would be punished. And of course, the outcome of this, we hope that will be changes. So literally in the future, somebody else's life was not wasted like this. So we are hoping for that result. And we thanks all the officials that were helping us to achieve this.
James Gaisar is Bijan Gaisar's father. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, sir.
Kelly Gaisar is Bijan's mother. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Kojo.
Nagin is Bijan's older sister. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Kojo.
And Roy Austin is one of the Gaisar's family's attorneys and a partner with the law firm of Harris, Wilshire, and Grannis, LLP. Roy Austin, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Kojo, for having us today.
This segment about the death of Bijan Gaisar was produced by Julie Deppenbrock, and our update on the incidents of racist graffiti at Salisbury University was produced by Lauren Marco and Laura Spitolniak. Coming up tomorrow on the Politics Hour, D.C. Councilmember Vincent Gray will be here to talk about his new bid for re-election and about United Medical Center, among other things. Plus, Montgomery County Council President Nancy Navarro will share her thoughts on the county's new economic development platform. That's tomorrow, streaming live only at noon on the Politics Hour. Until then, thank you for listening. I'm Kojo Namdi.
The Kojo Namdi Show is produced by Julie Deppenbrock, Sydney Grannon, Margaret Barthel, Lauren Marco, and Maura Curry. Our managing producer is Mona Cashby. Our engineer is Josephine Neonai. Our intern is Laura Spitolniak. For past shows and more content, visit kojoshow.org.
Thanks for listening to The Kojo Namdi Show, and if you're already a member of WAMU 88.5, thank you for your support. If not, it's easy to give online at wamu.org. Just click the donate button, and thanks.